Well, good morning, everybody. Wow, look at that. Happy birthday. Thank you. Yeah, today's the big day. Today for those, I wasn't expecting that. How old am I? Wow, that's wonderful too. You're young. Today's the big 5-0. Today's the day. Right, here's to another 50. I wasn't expecting any of that. Thank you. It's interesting because I woke up this morning, as I usually do, as most of us have so far today, and I was up first, and my wife was up, and then my son, who's, I'm going to embarrass him, he's running the middle camera. I'm staring at him right there. He came downstairs, and my wife said, aren't you going to, what did you say to him? You don't remember? She said something like, what is today, or something like that, and he said, go Bills. And I was like, come on, kid, it's my birthday. So you can see where his mind is. As many of the rest of you, this is my hope, that you put off about 8:30 today off to the side and we get to focus on what God has for us this morning. Because I believe that what he has for us today as we dive into the series Sincerely will help. It has the potential to help set the course for the rest of your year. And as we jump in, I want to ask you this question. And this is a fun question. What's the strangest gift you've ever received? You know the gift. When you're sitting there at Christmas or a birthday or some other time, somebody gives you a gift, you open it and you put on a smile, but in your head you're like, what in the world? Maybe the person sitting next to you has given you a gift like that at some point, so don't react too loudly. But we've all received gifts like that over time where we open it and we say, I don't know what this is. I don't know how I'm going to use it. I don't even know why you thought of me. And my wife gave me one of those gifts years ago. It's, interestingly enough, it's a stress reliever called Stress Paul. Can you get in on that, Jacob? Can you focus it? Just go ahead. Yeah, Stress Paul. It's a stress ball. And it actually says, Stress Paul, stress reliever. Don't get stressed. Take it out on Paul. Feeling stressed, overwhelmed, tense, under pressure. When you're feeling stressed, punish Paul to keep your sanity. Don't get stressed. Take it out on Paul. Yeah. When the pressure is too much to handle, squeeze Paul. Strangest gift I ever got. And I haven't taken it out of the packaging because the packaging is better than the thing itself, right? The packaging is what makes it. So if anybody ever needs to borrow my stress, Paul, you can't have it. No, you can borrow it and as long as you give it back and don't open it. But we get gifts like this sometimes that are fun and we laugh at, but we don't quite understand what the purpose is. I want you to think of that gift in your mind right now, the gift that you have received that you're not quite sure why you got it, and I want you to hold on to that for a minute. The strange gift, just shuffle it off. We'll come back to it in a moment. But what is the strange gift that somebody has given you that you haven't known what to do with? Well, today we jump in with 2 feet into the letter of 1 Peter. We jumped in a little bit as we had our family weekend on New Year's Eve, but today we jump in. And today we're going to talk about the general theme of the letter. Now, if you're thinking, oh, I know this letter, I know what he writes about, I don't know if I want to be here. Well, let me let you all in on it. 1 Peter deals a lot with suffering. Welcome to 2024. And as we dive into this letter, and especially today, we're going to see how suffering, and you know this, I don't have to tell you this, you're aware of it, if you breathe, you know this is true, that suffering tends to be a part of everybody's life. Now let me explain what I mean. Some of us, we have a difficulty paying the bills for whatever reason, and that stress and that pain and that anxiety fills up and you don't know what to do. Or maybe you have challenges at work. A boss or a coworker or the very job you're engaged in is more than you can handle, and it adds this added level of stress and complexity to your life. Or maybe you're engaged or have rocky relationships with a significant other or a family member or somebody in the community, and that rocky relationship adds pressure and stress to your life. Maybe you're in the hard stages of parenting and you're watching a wayward child just live their life and you don't know what to do. Or maybe as a child, you're watching a wayward parent who's living foolishly and you don't know how to help them, but that pressure and the stress of that keeps building up. Or maybe you have challenges with your physical or mental health. And no matter what you try, who you speak to, what ointment or whatever you put on, nothing helps. And maybe nobody even notices that you're suffering because it's hidden and nobody can see it. But deep down, if you have one or maybe more of those things happening at the same time, it can cause this pressure. And I dare say we experience a sense of suffering. Well, this is my encouragement today, and you'll see it unfold as we move forward through 1 Peter, that we will both see a godly perspective and godly encouragement on our suffering. A godly perspective, when we get to the end of the message, you'll say, I never thought of suffering like that. And a godly encouragement that as you're in the middle of whatever's happening in your life, that hopefully by the end of today, you'll be able to point back and say, Jesus, you better have me through this because I can't do it on my own. But before we jump into 1 Peter, I have to give a little context. It was written in roughly 60 AD. At that point in the Roman world, Christians were beginning to live in fear. They weren't able to move about as freely as they once were. They're experiencing ridicule and harassment and slander. People are beginning to look at Christians, those who were committed to following Jesus with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They were looking at them as a pariah in society. And Peter wrote this letter to churches in what is today Turkey. And as he wrote to these churches, there's a lot that we can understand for ourselves. And not only were those minor, I'll call those minor sufferings happen, Nero was emperor of the Roman Empire. And if you know anything about Nero, he ruled with an iron fist and he looked for every opportunity to persecute Christians, to kill Christians in not so pleasant ways. So as Peter was writing this letter, he wasn't writing to a people where everything was great. I used to have a teacher in high school. I went to Orchard Park who called Orchard Park Daffodil Valley. It wasn't like Daffodil Valley. Everything was starting to crumble, and Christians were feeling the weight and the pain of persecution everywhere they went. People were killing them for pleasure and joy, and that's what Peter is writing into. He's writing into a situation that was turning ugly fast. Now, you may be sitting here, and you'd be right to say, well, in the South Towns of Buffalo, Paul, we don't experience persecution of that kind. No one's going to walk in the back doors of our church today or on my drive home today, this afternoon or tomorrow and persecute me and kill me for being a Christian. And you're probably right. But that doesn't mean persecution to that level isn't alive and well in our world today. If you've been following the news at all, you know that in Nigeria, right around Christmas Eve and thereabouts, 140 Nigerian Christians were killed for their faith. Did you know that? Brutally murdered for their belief in Jesus. And in the year 2022, 5,014 Nigerians were killed for their faith. And if you go back to 2009, 18,000 Nigerian churches have been burned to the ground. Persecution is alive and well in our world. And Christians in many parts of the world have to worship in secret because if they stick their heads up, they may be killed. We have Bjorn was talking about our heart check partners, one of them in particular. I can't mention the name of the country. It's that sensitive that Christians are being persecuted and pastors are being killed. It happens in our world. Now, I understand that isn't our experience day in and day out. But as we talk about suffering, I dare to say, some of you have a hard time getting out of bed in the morning. Because the weight of life is too much. Or as you go through a normal Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or beyond, you experience people or things or situations that just are a burden to your soul, to your heart, and to your very being. If that's you, let these words that Peter wrote minister to your soul. Peter in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, pay attention to these, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. We'll get to that in a minute. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Do you see the first encouragement that Peter gives? That for those of us who are experiencing challenges in this world, we can experience new birth, new life. And we've all been born physically, right? All of us were born from our mothers. We came out either one way or the other, and we're here today. But Peter's not talking about that kind of birth. He's speaking about the type of birth that comes when the Holy Spirit enters your life and you're made alive spiritually. Where all of a sudden you walk in the world differently because you know the Holy Spirit is present with you. That's the kind of new life Peter is speaking about. Now, with physical birth, we know there's pain associated with it. Any of you who have given birth, or if your spouse has given birth, you've seen the physical pain associated with birth. And it reminds me of a story. Years ago, my wife and I went to visit someone in the hospital right after. I don't know how it worked out, but we were the first ones there after their first son was born. And we walk in, we're going towards the maternity ward, and we come up to the guy, the man of the family, the guy of the couple, and she had gone through labor all day. She labored and found she couldn't give birth, so eventually she had a C-section. It was an awful labor and delivery. And I promise you, this is exactly what happened. We walked up to this individual, and we said, "How are you?" And he said, "Well," and he's all sweaty. He's all disheveled, and he's usually a very put-together guy. He looks at us and said, "I think it was harder on me than it was on her." I promise you, we say that to ourselves all the time, and sometimes we call him on it. Remember when you said this 26 years ago when your son was born? Physical birth comes with pain, but so does spiritual birth. Those of us who walk with Jesus and we're being renewed by the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives every day, there are painful times. I want to put this right out of your head. If you think that following Jesus means that all the suffering and problems of your life disappear, you're wrong. And I don't know where you learned that. But this is the beauty. Through the presence of Jesus in your life, you experience new birth. The Holy Spirit is present with you. And when you go through those challenges of life, this is the beautiful part, you are not alone. He is with you. He is present. When you feel like you want to crumble and fade away, he's there to prop you up, to hold you up, to carry you, to get you from A to B, to help you through the trials of life. He is present. That's what new birth means. You are not alone. You're reborn spiritually. Suffering does not define you. New birth does. I love this focus that Peter has on Jesus, that he brings us right to the foot of the cross, and he brings us right to this place that although you may be suffering and in pain, you are not alone because you are born again. You are made new. There is new birth through the presence of Jesus in your life, and that is good news. So Peter continues, we not only have new birth, but we have new birth into a what? A living hope. What in the world is a living hope? Well, I'll tell you what. The struggles of life get really bad. The suffering gets really intense, especially when you don't have anything to hope in, right? when you're in the middle of the pain and everything that's going on in your life, and you have nothing to pick your eyes up and say, oh, but I have hope in this. Peter is saying, no, that is not true. We have a living hope. Who's the living hope? Jesus himself. And Jesus is not dead. He's alive and well. And that's why Peter says we have a living hope, not a hope that is stale or stagnant or buried in the ground, but we have hope in a risen Savior who ascended to the right hand of his Father. That's where we get our hope. We have new birth into a living hope. Suffering does not define you. New birth into a living hope defines you. Now, some of you came in here today with your tail between your legs because life is hard. And I hope as you've heard so far that we can have new birth through Jesus. And then as we do, we have hope. And I'll tell you what. It's the new birth into a living hope that it gets me through some days when life is hard. I'm not going to get into the details, but 2023 was an incredibly challenging year. I'm telling you, it for many reasons. And I'm not just saying that for hyperbole. It was a difficult year. But knowing that we had new birth into a living hope is what carried me and Holly and my family through. And that's available to all of us. Suffering does not define you. New birth into a living hope does. You know what? We are no different than our Savior, are we? Because Jesus lived a perfect life, a sinless life. He lived this perfect, beautiful life where he loved and cared for and just welcomed anybody who had need. And then he died an awful death. He suffered greatly. When you are suffering, Jesus knows what you're going through. He knows. He did it. He lived it. And in fact, his suffering, he was nailed to a cross and he was left to die hanging on a tree. He understands your pain. He understands what you're going through and the struggles you've experienced, and he wants to offer you hope. But Peter continues, it's not only that, there's also an inheritance that goes along with this. It keeps getting better and better. You know, sometimes, let's go back to the being born in your earthly family. Sometimes when parents or grandparents or others pass away, an inheritance is left, usually a financial inheritance that goes from one generation to the next, and people divvy it up. Some families have the ability to do that, and others do not. But what often happens with an inheritance of that level, if it's not managed well, it disappears quickly because someone who doesn't have money all of a sudden gets some, and they don't know what to do with it. And they blow it. But that's not the case with our inheritance. You remember what Peter said about our inheritance? It can never perish, spoil, or fade. Ever. What's our inheritance? Our inheritance is eternity with God. Our inheritance, what we have to look forward to, is more than anything in this world could ever possibly offer you. Our inheritance is new life with God forever. Forever and ever. And when everything around us that goes on in our lives, remember that to be true. Suffering does not define you. New birth into a living hope and a secure inheritance does. Some of you need to hear this today. Already, as we've started 2024, you're like, I can't do this anymore. After service recently, I was talking to one person out in the lobby, and she shared stories of how at one point she wanted to end her life, and she went into great detail. And she was sobbing as she's telling me this. And she said, Jesus, He died in my place. He died in my place so that I can have life. That is the beauty of what it means to follow him, Jesus. Suffering does not define you. The hard things, the stuff that you wish would go away, that does not define you. New birth into a living hope and a secure inheritance defines you. As followers of Jesus, we're not citizens of this world, but we are citizens of heaven. That defines you. Peter continues. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come, listen to this, so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Christ is revealed. Why do we go through this, even though it may be for a while? Because in the end, praise, glory, and honor go to Jesus Christ. Our temporary sufferings are actually a strange gift. I just blew some of your minds. You're like, how is suffering a gift? You are so off base. When we go through the difficult times of suffering and pain in our lives, it forces us closer and closer to the person of Jesus, where we have to rely on him more and more for every breath, every step, every thought, everything we do. And as we're in that place, going through the difficult times, and we're forced closer to Jesus, we become more like him. We experience him in new and exciting and life-giving ways. That if you don't go through suffering, you will never experience suffering. It's a strange gift to those of us who follow Jesus. It's a strange gift, a gift that many of us wish we would never receive, a gift that we might not want to ever open, that we'd put on the shelf or return to sender or whatever the case may be. We don't want it. But then Peter doubles down in just a moment. Before we get to Peter again, we have to focus on Jesus' half-brother, James. Because James writes these words, and there are times in my life where I've gone through challenges and difficulties, and I've grabbed a hold of these scriptures because they get my mind right, they get my heart right, and they refocus my attention. James wrote, and this is the Message version. Some of you know it in the NIV, I did the Message just to shake it up a little bit. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. In the NIV, it says, consider it pure joy. It's a gift when challenges come at us from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. Listen to this. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so that you may become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. And again, the NIV says, you will become mature and complete, not lacking anything. Suffering is a gift that if we don't exit it prematurely, will help us become more like Jesus. Mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. Now that's crazy. Because when I have challenges in my life, I don't feel that way, do you? When there have been some challenges, even recently, that have come at us as a family or as me as an individual, I'm like, I don't want to deal with that because it stinks. But when James speaks these words, to consider it sheer gift when tests and challenges come at you, I'm like, okay, Lord, how do I do that? How do I get to the mind shift where all of a sudden I understand that the challenges and the struggles of life are in fact a gift? Because they will make me strong. They will knock off the rough edges of my life. They will force me to trust Jesus with all of who I am because there's nowhere else to turn. That's the beauty of struggle and suffering. It's a gift. Now, I want to make something clear, because some of you may say, well, why does God do this? God does not cause suffering or death or sin. He never has, he never will, he's unable to, he won't do it. In fact, he made a way for us to defeat those things through the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. God does not bring the suffering into your life. Don't think that for a second. I've heard far too many people say, and you've heard them too, if there's a loving God, why does he allow this suffering in my life, right? Have you heard that? And there's people who have suffering in their lives and they embrace the Lord more intimately and their faith just skyrockets. And then there's individuals who, when suffering comes, they curse God and run the other way. They're missing out. In this life, there will be struggles or will be challenges. But Jesus said, take heart, I have overcome the world. In your life, you will have struggles, you will have challenges, and sometimes you will suffer. But take heart, our Lord has overcome the world. He did not cause your suffering, he did not cause your pain. But he can use anything, even your pain, for his purposes in your life. So when struggles come, don't turn your back on God. Instead, turn towards him and embrace him and say, Lord, I need you now more than ever. That's the beauty of our struggles. That's why they're a strange gift. They force us to be with Jesus. And believing God can do this takes faith. It takes faith. Peter continues in 1 Peter verses 8 and 9. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I don't think any of us in this room, and if you have, it's a blessing. You've had a vision or a dream, but I don't think there's many of us in this room that have seen him. But yet we still love him. I don't think many of us have had an experience where we've heard the audible voice of God. Maybe some of you have. I haven't. But even if you haven't, he's still God. And when we trust and obey and follow him, I love how Peter ends that line. The end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The salvation of our souls, where this world is not the end, but life with God in eternity is. That's the living. I want to close in a way that we usually don't. That last scripture, 1 Peter 8 and 9, we've adapted it for congregational reading as a declaration of our beliefs, our trust, our love for God. So I'm going to ask that we all read this together. I'm going to ask that you stand right where you are. And the words, well, they already are. The words are on the screen. And just let's read this together as a declaration of our faith. though we have not seen him. Amen. As we journey through this series of Sincerely, we've put together a reading plan if you want to follow along. It sort of follows Peter, the disciple, and then Peter, the apostle, and the things he did and said and what he learned from Jesus. There are these bookmarks with the reading plan at the Connection Center if you didn't grab one already, but make sure you do. And then keep that in your Bible or a journal. If you've been around for a while, we have a reading method we call SOAP, where we soap the scriptures. The S stands for scripture. What's the scripture you're reading? And is there a verse in particular that stuck out to you? The O is for observation. What do you observe about that verse that maybe you've never before? The A is application. As a result of that verse, what am I going to do differently? And then the P is prayer. You would just get your own spiral bound or other notebook, write SOAP down the side, S-O-A-P, and then fill it out. But as we go through 1 Peter, we're going to look at the life of Peter as he interacted with Jesus. And I hope that that's an encouragement for you and me. So, Father, we thank you that our suffering is a strange gift. Lord, a gift that will draw us closer to you, a gift that we may never want, but when we unwrap it and look into it, Lord, it truly is strange because in our pain, in the things that we don't want to encounter, Lord, somehow we find you there. So, Lord, I pray for everybody in this room who has difficulties in their life, who has difficulties that they want to run from and push off to the side, Lord, I pray that in the middle of that place, we would find you faithful. That we would reach out to you, we would connect with you, and that as we do, Lord, you would fill us, you would make us mature and complete, not lacking anything. Lord, as we journey through 1 Peter, open our eyes, ears, and hearts to what you may have for us. We thank you for these times where we can learn and grow and worship together. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. We have one more song we're going to sing together. It's a song where we declare what we believe to be true. So don't sing this just because we're singing it. Let this be your prayer before we go today. Let's sing together.